1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. The ceasefire in Gaza now into a fifth extended day. Hamas freeing at least 69 hostages. Israel releasing 150 Palestinian prisoners. 16-year-old Sahar Calderon and her 12-year-old brother Arez are among the 11 Israeli hostages released. Abby Ohn is the cousin of Sahar and Arez's mother.
Both are physically okay. They are with their mother. They are receiving love and hugs.
President Biden and Jill Biden have arrived in Georgia for the funeral service for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Joining them on Air Force One, former President Bill Clinton, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and former First Lady Michelle Obama. Former First Lady Melania Trump also set to attend, former President Jimmy Carter attending, accompanied by his physician. In India, all of the 41 workers trapped in a collapsed mine for 17 days have been rescued. Rescuers had been digging by hand to get them out after a mine drilling machine failed. Ambulances now taking them from the scene. This is ABC News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This year's gun deer hunt in Wisconsin is going down as one of the safest ever. Only three people were shot the entire 9 days. Warden Michael Weber credits safety education efforts and enforcement in the woods.
We're going to use the best data that we have to continue to reduce those incidents, prevent those incidents from occurring.
The harvest was lower than last year's by more than 17%. Experts say this year's season was a few days earlier than usual. There's more than $2 million in grant money in Wisconsin to help mental health services for veterans. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is accepting applications for three grants. 16 Wisconsin nonprofits got about $650,000 in the last round. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Cloquet area residents have been displaced from their home after a fire in their attic. The Cloquet Area Fire District responded to a call around 6 p.m. on Sunday and arrived to an attic fully engulfed with smoke and flames coming from the roof of the house. Crews were able to extinguish the fire after about 3 hours, confining most of the damage to the attic area. Nobody was reported injured as a result of the fire, and one cat needed to be rescued. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Proposed election changes in the state is causing concern from Wisconsin election officials about preparations for the 2024 election. Republicans in the state legislature have made a number of proposals for stricter voter ID laws and restricting opportunities for election officials and municipalities to use privately sourced funds to conduct elections. One proposal to help local election officials streamline the processing of absentee ballots the day before the election has also stalled in the state Senate. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Packers getting ready for the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice, got some players back from the injury list. Defensive back Eric Stokes worked out. Running back Aaron Jones did some drills, but he's dealing with that MCL sprain. They're short at running back, so is he close? I asked Matt LaFleur.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, I think we're a long way from that.
The Packers host the Chiefs on Sunday night. College basketball, the Badgers with a 71-49 win over Western Illinois. Wisconsin will host Marquette this Saturday. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight to face the Heat. Giannis on how much Damian Lillard helps him and the team play better.
So like early in the season, those passes wasn't there. Now 10 games, 15 games later, the passes are there. So he's picking up on things. So now we're trying to figure out ways to kind of complement one another's game. He can still be Dame and I can still be Giannis. It makes the game easier for our teammates.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 26. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 20 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 20.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our standing producer and engineer over on the board. It is hour number two of the big show, Tuesday, November 28th, 2023, 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you on. Glad to have Luke Mathers here for a Tuesday tangent with Luke. Always just makes the show go better when Lukester stops by. So I appreciate him. Mr. Somers, we got a call. We could not get in right before the break there because I wanted to make sure that Luke explained this in-season tournament to me of the NBA, which I don't fully necessarily understand, but I appreciate it now because basically they're doing it for two reasons. A, the players are having a newest incentive because, of course, they don't get paid enough. So now they can earn more money if they win this in-season tournament, which makes them play harder in these early season games, which Luke and I talked after the segment. Again, part of the reason I've not been a big NBA fan growing up is because particularly in the early season, the players just don't seem to care a lot in quarter one, two, and three. They just, now it's the fourth quarter, now we'll play. And I think he agreed with me. So this in-season tournament is to incentivize them. And also Luke informed me that now to get to the NBA All-Star game, you have to play a certain number of games in order to qualify for that. So you can't just sit out.
Which makes sense. I don't know why that wasn't a rule before.
Exactly. And also it's based on soccer, which, you know, again, I understand the game of soccer and appreciate the game of soccer. I mean, to watch the World Cup games, those are beautiful games to watch. The finesse, the talent. But what I don't get is the whole, how a player can play for multiple teams throughout the year and multiple leagues. I'm like, I thought this guy played for that team. Well, he does, but he also plays for that. It's all very confusing to me. I mean, you don't see Jordan Love, you know, playing for the Packers, then in the summer he plays for, you know, a team Quebec in the Canadian League.
Just not a thing.
By the way, I don't even know if there is a team Quebec. It was just the first province that popped into my head. I mentioned this before. We haven't been able to find it, but one of, I got this from Jeff Perry, our friend. One of my favorite renditions of O Canada is by the late, great Jim Nabors, a.k.a. Gomer Pyle of Mayberry and the TV show Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, I've tried to look for that too, and I didn't find it.
Oh, Canada.
Maybe I just didn't try hard
we
enough.
We stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada. People have turned off the radios now. Anyway, you don't see Jordan Love playing for Team Quebec. It just doesn't, if there is one in the CFL. And that's what confuses me about, you know, World Cup League soccer. Too many teams, players going back and forth. There's no loyalty, you understand? That's just my American take on things. Anyway, to button up this whole issue, we had a very serious and good question. That because we were talking about all that nonsense, we were not able to get Fred from Cottage Grove on the air, and he had a very serious question, a good one, about, pardon me, this issue we were talking about on in the state legislature on trying to require school libraries in villages and towns and cities and public school libraries to tell parents of kids under the age of 16 every piece of material your kid checks out within 24 hours. Fred says of Cottage Grove, he echoed and said the statement that Republicans used to be about local control before MAGA, and this is the opposite. He also asked if charter voucher schools would be subject to the same requirements, or is this just another misuse of state funds? Mr. Zomers, over the break, you took a little peek at the bill. What did you come away with?
So 2023 Assembly Bill 642, analysis by the Legislative Reference Bureau, I read through that, and it is not totally clear. It says this bill requires school boards, et cetera, and then, you know, talks about the requirement to notify a custodial parent or guardian. And then it says, under current law, subject to various exceptions and so on, specifically related to a library receiving public funds. So the only time I see a mention of public versus private is in that initial category or in that initial paragraph. It says that the new bill would require libraries, whereas the current bill requires libraries that receive state funding. So I don't know if that's an intentional omission or not. Basically, the answer is, I don't know.
I would bet it probably is.
I would also.
And again, I don't want to put words in people's mouths. I have not read the entirety of the bill. Mr. Zomers looked at it over the break. But it appears it's fuzzy at best on whether this would apply to charters, private schools or not.
I am guessing it's yet another way to have different standards for if you're a private school, you can teach whatever you want. You can teach that that the earth is 10 years old and that 1 + 1 = 5, and that's just fine.
I think they're probably driving home the point. There is a line of thought out there that private schools have total control over things and that they would not let a quote unquote inappropriate book in their library, so you don't have to worry about it. Whereas some people don't trust our public schools, our public libraries, and think that there is inappropriate material there. Which I just simply disagree with.
Yeah, me too. And there are standards that public schools have to live up to. Yes. They can't just put pornography in their school library. Can't.
Well, then we go down the whole rabbit hole of quote unquote, what is pornography? And you know, that's another cup of coffee and bottle of wine, which we're not going to open today. But anyway, I appreciate you, Fred from Cottage Grove, sending in that comment on the text line. Remember, you can text us as well by using the Civic Media app. Download it on your iPhone or Android device and send us a text. I want to touch on this story that's kind of making the news rounds because I don't want people to say, oh, geez, Todd, if something bad happens to a Democrat, you don't talk about it. And I'm not even sure that it's something bad. It's just something that's making headlines, and I wanted to address it here. And WisPolitics today has a good synopsis on this based on reporting from the Associated Press and the Wisconsin State Journal. So I'm going to go through this a little bit. Feel free to call in. Happy to take your calls on it if you'd like. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I am talking about this story that is being peddled by Wisconsin Right Now, which is a right-wing conservative. They call themselves a news organization. And Wisconsin Right Now reported that it asked for all communication to and from an address, an email address within state government of warren.spahn@wisconsin.gov, which from 2018 to September of 2023. And apparently now what has come out is that Governor Evers has been using a pseudo email to do government business with. Not unlike his predecessor, Governor Scott Walker, and it appears other governors before him. And according to the
wispolitics.com. The governor's office rejected that request by Wisconsin Right Now as being too broad, saying in a response email sent November 22nd that more than 17,000 emails were found. Department of Administration released 30 pages of emails containing messages back and forth between Evers, cabinet secretaries, and others. Evers, in announcing his initial AmFam Field deal, noted Spahn was a hero. Quote, "I've been watching baseball in Milwaukee since the County Stadium days when I had the chance of a lifetime to watch Warren Spahn's 300th career game there way back when," unquote. Now, the governor's spokesman said in an email that aliases are common. Quote, "As a matter of digital security, dignitaries in state of Wisconsin have alias email addresses, including the governor, first lady, and lieutenant governor, as has been the case for at least the last decade that I'm aware of, including under former Governor Scott Walker," unquote. Now, and this is interesting because this is a guy that I trust implicitly, a great reporter, Bill Luders, who is a journalist, formerly the editor at The Progressive. He is now president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. And Bill Luders said this, quote, "I don't know if these types of emails are common or uncommon. I do know if they're used for public business, they're subject to the records law," unquote. Evers' office disclaimer on open records releases notes identifiers of non-public email addresses are redacted. Making this information available would significantly hinder these officials' ability to communicate and work effectively, unquote. Now, Evers' use of the Warren Spahn email follows precedent set by Governor Walker and other governors. Walker used this one. It was kevin.scott@wisconsin.gov. Kevin's his middle name, Scott Kevin Walker. And that's according to his ex-legal chief, who said that that was the case. So his ex-legal chief for Scott Walker has confirmed that Walker did exactly the same thing. All right? So now, according to former assistant attorney general, this guy was a former assistant attorney general under Brad Schimmel, who incidentally is going to, I guess, run for state Supreme Court against Ann Walsh Bradley, better known as the good Bradley, on the Supreme Court. She's a great justice. Schimmel is a schmuck. I got a story about Brad Schimmel I'll tell later, either today or another time. Schimmel said that these types of practices of having kind of different emails like Walker did and now Evers has was, quote, explicitly discouraged, unquote. Both Walker and Evers regularly provided public records from alternative email addresses. So, again, I was in state government on and off for 20, 25 years. I can tell you that none of my bosses, either in Congress or the state Senate, ever had, my former boss was the Senate majority leader, for goodness sake, the second, third most powerful person in the state of Wisconsin. He never had a pseudo email. It was just always dale.schultz@wisconsin.gov or whatever it was. And here's the secret. Very few legislators of either party ever actually read their own email. They just don't, because you get nut jobs just, saying ridiculous things. And a legislator, their job is to be on the floor and legislate, to be out in their district and listen and to meet with constituents. They actually do very little of the casework. That's up to their staff. The legislature manages it, or the executive. So whether it's Walker or Evers, I just don't see the need for it. But it's not illegal. It's not illegal. So I guess, okay, they both did it. There, we addressed it. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. What's worse on the other side?
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Ho, 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 ho. Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa, but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you.
Help US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. I want to read you this story from the Associated Press, and then we're going to do today's segment of What's Worse. According to the Associated Press, Elon Musk, who's been under fire for endorsing an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, and wider accusations of hatred flourishing on his social media platform, X, formerly known as Twitter, visited Israel over the last few days, where he toured a kibbutz attacked by Hamas militants and held talks with top leaders, including Bibi Netanyahu. The billionaire met with the Israeli prime minister, Israeli president, Isaac Herzog, who scolded him over content on the platform previously known as Twitter, and joined Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a tour of one of the kibbutzes, a rural village that Hamas militants stormed October 7th in a deadly assault that launched the war. Wearing a protective vest that again looked like a toy, and escorted by a group of security personnel as rain fell, Musk used his phone to take videos and photos of the devastation. Musk's visit came as Israel and Hamas reached a deal to extend ceasefire for two more days. And by the way, it's still the ceasefire is still going on as Israeli prisoners and Americans are being released by the terrorist organization that is Hamas. The Tesla CEO and the Prime Minister of Israel visited the damaged homes of victims, including the family of a four-year-old girl with dual Israeli-U.S. citizenship who was held hostage by Hamas after her parents were killed and was ultimately released. I think this is a lot of damage control by Elon Musk, knowing that basically he got caught with, you know, figuratively speaking, with his pants down. He kind of let the truth come out on what he feels about Jewish people. And now is trying to do damage control. And of course, he has a private jet, and so he jets off to Israel and tries to do damage control. I find it a little goofy. And I also find it a little reprehensible. And just instead of coming forward and saying, look, I made a bad choice and I'm trying to learn and grow, he tries to cover this up. No. I actually am concerned about Jewish people in Israel, and goes over there and does this. Anyway.
But not so concerned he'll actually change anything for the moderation of his platform.
That's the point, right, Mr. Sommers? He said something like he wants to, quote, rebuild Gaza, which I'm not even sure exactly what he meant by that. But you're right. Instead of changing. But because those of us who are on Twitter will tell you that it has gotten, we're getting a lot more bots trying to follow us and a lot more goofy content popping up that we're not liking or following. It's just kind of popping up. And you're right. Elon Musk has the ability and the money to control that, but he's choosing not to.
Yeah, I've seen some posts recently on there of people trying to report accounts that are clearly bots and trolls and spamming and with names like kill N-words, but fully spelled out, right. 1488 or whatever. And then they report it. And the response they get is an automated response that still has the Twitter logo, mind you, not even the new X logo. Right. So clearly they are devoting zero resources to maintaining this, saying it doesn't violate their terms of service.
So That leads us to today's What's Worse.
This or that. Choice is yours.
You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time now once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, no trinkets given away, simply your choice to call in on statewide radio and voice your opinion. From the home office, today's What's Worse. Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving. What's worse? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse? Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving? Now, I want to say this was not written by me, and this does not pertain to my family. We had a very nice Thanksgiving. There were no crazy family members at the table. However, I do know of people who had a Thanksgiving, and it's always one person, right? I mean, Ross Perot, for those of you who are old enough, back in 1992, Ross Perot, I forget what he was saying it about. It wasn't taxes, but he used the line, such and such, it's like your crazy aunt who lives in the basement. Everybody's got one, but we don't want to talk about her, which was just a ridiculous thing to say. But anyway, we all have that one family member, or at least many of us do. Maybe they didn't join you for Thanksgiving, but maybe they did. So what's worse, Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving? Mr. Zomers?
So I know your Thanksgiving this year was very pleasant.
Yes.
Have you had family members in the past who would fit the bill of the crazy uncle, the crazy aunt?
I'm trying to think.
Because I feel like most people have.
Yeah, I guess if you go to like extended family, right? Right. Nobody like in my immediate family, but there have been, say, like family reunions where it's like, oh, geez, they're coming or they'll probably be there. And it's like, well, just be nice, And so, yeah, I mean, we all have a family member who at one time or another either very politically doesn't agree with you, or maybe they just don't believe in political correctness and say things that are just like, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah, I've definitely had some of those. Or some of my family members, extended family, will make questionable decisions.
Right.
And then another family member will make a different questionable decision. And then they'll be like, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And they're like, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? Right. And it just goes back and forth, and they don't see what they themselves are doing.
Yeah.
And so it's a different kind of chaos.
Right. There's also kind of and sometimes there's the passive aggressive family member. Oh, so that's what you do. Oh, it's like that.
Jeff Perry says, in my family, I'm pretty sure I'm the crazy uncle.
I'm not sure. If Jeff is crazy, it's in a good way. A little more time left for you to call in. What's worse? Elon Musk going to Israel or your crazy family member that visited for Thanksgiving? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. P-A-R-T-Y.
I'm of two minds about this.
Text us on the Civic Media app. Yep.
Well, I'll have to talk about it on the other side.
Oh, okay. So you have more feelings about this.
I do.
All right, well, more feelings from Zomers on the other side. Also, the weirdest things you've bought at secondhand stores. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's more than $2 million in grant money in Wisconsin to help mental health services for veterans. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is accepting applications for three grants. They'll go to funding emergency treatment programs as well as different kinds of therapies. Money is also available for centers with family and marriage counseling and social workers. 16 Wisconsin nonprofits got about $650,000 in the last round of grants. Former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to run for state Supreme Court in 2025. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term is coming up, and she said she plans to run again. Just like earlier this year, the 2025 race is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Northern Lights Express, a transportation project to open passenger train service between Minneapolis and Duluth, has stalled while awaiting federal funding. According to a Northern News Now report, state lawmakers gave the 155-mile project nearly $200 million in state funding, but that only accounts for about 20% of the funding needed. The Minnesota Department of Transportation has applied for federal grants to fund the rest of the project, but have not received word back on the status of the grants. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has been using an alternate state email address as a security measure, named after a Hall of Fame pitcher for the Milwaukee Braves. Governor Evers reportedly used the email address warren.span@wisconsin.gov to discuss public business with top-level cabinet appointees. A spokesperson for the governor said the use of an alias email address is a common security measure by government officials, and they have complied with open record requests for it. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Packers getting ready for the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice, got some players back from the injury list. Defensive back Eric Stokes worked out. Running back Aaron Jones did some drills, but he's dealing with that MCL sprain. They're short at running back, so is he close? I asked Matt LaFleur.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, I think we're way a long way from that.
The Packers host the Chiefs on Sunday night. College basketball, the Badgers with a 71-49 win over Western Illinois. Wisconsin will host Marquette this Saturday. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight to face the Heat. Giannis on how much Damian Lillard helps him and the team play better.
So like early in the season, those passes wasn't there. Now 10 games, 15 games later, the passes are there. So he's picking up on things. So now we're trying to figure out ways to kind of complement one another's game. He can still be Dame and I can still be Giannis. It makes the game easier for our teammates.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 26. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 20 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 23.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Yeah, freedom.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, Tuesday, November 28th. Mr. Aaron Sommers on the board, our producer and engineer. Happy to have you along with us. Before the break, we are asking today's question of what's worse, Elon Musk in Israel or your crazy family member who visited for Thanksgiving? And again, I said, we did not have any crazy family at Thanksgiving. It was very nice in our household. Enjoyed it immensely. Everybody who was there. But I know whether it's Thanksgiving or other sometimes family events, each of us has had a, maybe we just call it a unique family member. It drives us a little crazy. Anyway, we have Cindy from Wausau chiming in. We appreciate it, Cindy, on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. From WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, Cindy from Wausau says, I would say Elon Musk traveling for a show with his crazy circus is worse. The family members that you choose, most of them, of the time, you have them there. So you choose to have your family members there most of the time. Elon Musk did this simply for himself. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think so. I also, the point where the thing that is concerning to me is that anytime Elon Musk does anything, it has a negative impact on the world, essentially. Yeah. You know, flying private jets, that's not good for the environment. Espousing hate, that's propagating anti-Semitism. Not moderating Twitter and just driving it into the ground, that's getting rid of a very popular source of news. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, him just flying on over to Israel to say hello and then get berated and then take some videos and come back kind of doesn't do anything about reality.
Well, and you looked up over the break, share with the folks what you found over the break there in regards to major companies now in response to Elon Musk putting some of these anti-Semitic things out there. Some major companies, many in fact, have pulled their advertising. But now, Mr. Sommers, they've gone a step further.
Yes, according to an article on CNN Business posted last night, updated this morning, major brands are not only pausing their advertisements on Elon Musk's X, they're stepping away from the platform altogether. And now we see that the main accounts belonging to a big laundry list, Disney, Paramount, Lionsgate, Sony Pictures, Universal, Warner Bros. Discovery, which is CNN's parent company, they haven't posted on the platform in about 10 days after he started retweeting anti-Semitic conspiracy theories with laughing emojis and the like. And being like, that seems suspicious.
Right.
And just not apologizing, not taking anything down, not taking it back, but just flying over to Israel to say, see, I still like Jewish people, and then continuing to.
So a lot of these major companies just say, we're not going to use the platform.
Yep. And they're just leaving.
I can't remember whether I was on Facebook first or Twitter first, but I got on Twitter primarily to find news. I use it as a news aggregation source. In other words, I follow predominantly legitimate news sources, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Politico, the Washington
Post. Some individual reporters.
Yeah, individual reporters. You know, some Badger football, Packers, Brewers, things like that. I don't really use it as a social platform. Like, you know, I will occasionally post pictures of a family event or me going to an event, but it's like, I'm not posted on Twitter every day like, oh, look what I had for breakfast. I'm just not the kind of social media that I do.
You're not an influencer.
I would not. I am many things. I would not say that I'm an influencer per se. No, some people are. I would not say that I'm a particular influencer. But yeah, I use it as an aggregation source for legitimate news. And I've tried to, I'm on Threads, I'm on Blue Sky, but none of these alternates have the same ability to aggregate the news that I've found so far like Twitter does. And so that's why I stay on it. But I do think it's very interesting. If you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Stoughton. CJ in Stoughton, appreciate you listening. CJ, what say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. We saw after the purchase of Twitter just who was censoring people at Twitter and paying the government to keep information from America. And that's what was proven by Elon Musk. So the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories we see are true all over the country by our universities as we educate these idiots and pay for it. Because it's pretty sad to see what's going on in our country right now. People don't know the difference between Hamas and Palestine. So the ignorance runs wild. And to hear your host say that, you know, that this is demeaning by what Musk has done. He's exposed Main Street media that it's not what they say they are.
CJ,
they're
are,
censoring America are all you on, day long.
Are you on Twitter? Are you on X?
Yes.
Did you see what Musk actually retweeted and what he said? I mean, it was an anti-Semitic post, and he said, "Now you're telling the truth," and he liked this. It was retweeting anti-Semitism. I mean, are you okay with that?
Well, of course not. But he exposed what people follow and what they're saying. So are you okay with what's going on at the universities? The proven anti-Semitic issues that are going on by people that are here getting educated at our universities? Are you okay with that?
I think you're painting a very broad brush. And I mean, that's just the case.
Are you okay with any of it, Todd?
I'm not okay with anyone, whether it's someone of the Jewish faith or Muslim faith or what have you, being persecuted or being harassed. I'm not okay with that. I mean, we're going down another rabbit hole of a whole other issue here. We've talked about it broadly on this program before.
Let's talk about the issue that's facing us, not just him. I mean, you got people that are anti-Semitic at our universities that are being educated by our professors that are preaching this crap. So you want to expose Elon Musk, let's look at everybody else, too.
Well, I think number one, the segment was to point out what Elon Musk is doing, and I absolutely disagree with what he's doing. I think it's terrible when he's perpetuating anti-Semitism. And number two, we've called out on this program and other programs any, you know, whether it's anti-Semitism. I mean, we were one of the first programs that had somebody of the Jewish faith on this program and on campus. The chancellor here at Madison, Jennifer Mnuchin, has condemned anti-Semitism and all hate groups, as a matter of fact. And we've called out on this program the harassment of Hillel, the house of the Jewish faith on campus here, and protests that intimidated them. We've repeatedly called that out on this program. And certainly we've talked about in this program that there have been select professors on university campuses that have, you know, intimidated people of the Jewish religion, and we've condemned that. But I don't think that you can say that it's quote unquote all universities. It's just not true. And remember, you have people like Scott Walker saying that this is indoctrination at our public universities, while he sent his own son to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So it seems a little contradictory, and whether they really believe what they're saying or not. So that was my point. But I appreciate your call, CJ. Appreciate you called in. Have a great day. We'll welcome your calls as well, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Always appreciate all viewpoints. All calls are taken, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say. I want to move on to something a little, turn the page a bit, a little more lighthearted, as they would say. This from our friends at Cracked.com, entitled 34 of the Most Bizarre Items People Donated to Goodwill. And I know our friends over at As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, filling in for Kristen Bry while she is on maternity leave. By the way, rumor is Kristen may be in town. That's the rumor.
Rumor has it.
TMZ reporting that Kristen Bry may be in town. I mean, that's how big she is. She has people following her. Paparazzi. She has her own paparazzi.
I'm not sure if that's true.
I like it to be true. Anyway, but over on As Goes Wisconsin, they kind of did a version of this the other day. And then I found this article from our friends at Cracked.com, and I thought it was fantastic. So asking you, what's the most bizarre item that you have found at a Goodwill or thrift store or secondhand store. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. From crack.com, though TikTok influencers would have you believe that Goodwill is full of hidden gems just waiting to be found, the retailer is often mostly a smorgasbord of junk. That's not to say you can't find real treasure nestled amongst the garbage, but you have to push past the taxiderming squirrel and wallet of full of human teeth to find it. Now, wait a minute. If I was able to buy a taxidermied squirrel, if I could buy a taxidermied squirrel for like 10 bucks, I would absolutely buy that and put it on my desk. Can you? That would be fantastic. Would you do that?
Probably. You know, there's a taxidermied squirrel in my parents' house.
Is there really?
Yeah. Because my dad's. Wait,
so you have a one-nutted gecko and a taxidermied squirrel?
Yes.
That's nuts.
Among other things.
Among other things. All right, very
yes,
good.
Yes, most definitely.
Don't worry about
nuts.
It now. It's the moment's past.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so you have a taxidermied squirrel.
Yeah.
Did you buy it at a thrift store?
No. All right. It is a squirrel that my dad hunted, and it is enormous. And so that's why he got it mounted. And so in the corner of our living room, there's like a piece of a log on the wall in the top corner, just with a huge squirrel on it.
That is fantastic. That's the best part of the show so far. But see, I would buy that. Now, some people would say that's an odd item. I would love to have a taxidermied squirrel. Anyway, back to the story. Goodwill workers and shoppers have long traded stories about some of the most insane items they've seen donated, as well as given some sound advice to future donors. Check your pockets before dropping off your goods. Good advice, right? Check your pockets. What is the
definitely
most...
knowing some of the things that are coming up. Check your pockets.
What are some of the most bizarre things that you have seen at or purchased from a Goodwill thrift store or secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Here we go. Number 34 said, we once had someone donate a guillotine. We think it sold for 30 bucks. Now, I'm not even sure that around here whether they would put that on the shelf.
I think it also depends. Like, does it say if the guillotine is, does it say what size it is? Like, you can buy a bagel guillotine.
Well, I wouldn't call that a guillotine, a bagel slicer.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, the only thing that's good for chopping heads off is squirrels. I mean, you could do that if you were into that, I guess. But
a full size, functioning guillotine, there's no way you can donate that to a Goodwill.
I hope they took the blade out. Number 33, literal bags of their garbage. The first time I thought it was just an accident, but no, this would happen often. Usually people with an old truck and a mullet. We have people in old trucks and mullets dropping off garbage. This seems bizarre to me. Number 32, a basket of taxidermied kittens.
I don't like that.
Well, I mean, were they like stillborn or something? And or did something tragic happen? I guess you don't have to feed them.
That's maybe a question you don't want the answer to.
I don't know.
I would be afraid to learn what happened.
All right. We're talking about the 34 most bizarre things ever donated at Goodwill, according to research by cracked.com. Let's see here. Number 30. A book of the Bible for the deaf written across the cover while the rest of it was written in Braille. That kind of missed the point on that one, I guess. It really wasn't for that. Number 29, the blazer vest with a live bat comfortably nestled inside. Cute little guy. Never got pictures. Was before the age of smartphones. Got the thickest pair of gloves to carefully grab him and release him outside. A bat, a live bat. Be sure to check the pockets before you try on anything at Goodwill. We'll come back. What's the most bizarre thing you ever saw at Goodwill? 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. The Todd Allbowl Show and Civic Media.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct, going to take you to the front lines of history. History being made every minute of every day, as Matt likes to remind us. Always on top of it, an attorney, seen it all, a regular Perry Mason of the courtroom, two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He's seen some stuff. Matt Flynn will bring you his perspective coming up right after the news at the top of the hour. You do not want to miss it. Right now, we're talking about something a little lighter than the front lines of history being made. The front lines of your Goodwill or thrift store or St. Vitie de Paul, wherever you go thrifting. It's a big thing now, by the way. My nieces are all about it. I think they buy more clothes at thrift stores, secondhand stores, than they do like it anywhere else.
I probably would if it weren't for the fact that my family has so many allergies. We've always kind of avoided thrifting because of that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they just put them on and wear them. I think they can bring them home and...
Right, but still, but also I know my mom is really sensitive to things like fabric softener.
Oh, okay.
And that's hard to just wash out in one go.
Can't just wash that out. Honey, what's the most bizarre thing that you've ever found at a Goodwill store or a secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. This according to our friends at cracked.com. Number 28, it's a little crude, but I really like it, actually. Number 28, quote, a glass jar labeled, quote, fart, June, 1975. Because who among us, either with friends or family, like, oh my gosh, you should bottle that. Like, that's toxic, you know?
Right.
And so somebody
and
just,
someone did it.
Someone
allegedly.
I hope to goodness they didn't open it. But yes, yeah, someone donated to Goodwill a glass jar labeled, quote, fart, June 1975. Don't open it up. It did not, I bet it did not age well. So let me see. Number 27, a three-man tent. That doesn't seem so odd. All poles, excellent condition, complete with I can't read this. Let me see. Complete with dirty underwear stashed away in one of the pockets inside the tent. Soiled underwear. I'll put it that way.
Excellent.
Again, check the pockets. I mean, why would you save that?
I can't imagine.
I mean, just throw it in the campfire or the garbage.
I have packed up and set up many a tent in
time. You're an Eagle Scout.
Right. And proper tent care, even if you're not trying that hard, you don't just pack it up wet and full of stuff and leave it. Like, it's not going to fit in the bag. Yeah, full of crap, literally. Like, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
I feel like when you set it up to dry it out the next day, you're going to notice there's something in the pockets and that your tent smells really bad.
Yeah, it would be bad. What's the oddest thing you found at a Goodwill store? Or any other secondhand store. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. 967-2789, according to our friends at cracked.com. Number 26, a little coarse, a shoebox of used and unopened condoms was the worst of it.
That's pretty bad.
Who saves these things? Number 25, old porn DVDs donated with a crock pot full of moldy bean water. Now, I don't think they're connected.
I don't think so either.
But apparently this person donated old porn DVDs, but in the same box was a crock pot, which apparently they cooked beans or something and put it in there to like soak, and then just forgot to dump it out and donated it.
Man.
Yeah. It's all very odd. What else we got here? Again, if you have something that you have found odd, give us a call. What's the oddest thing you've ever donated or found at a secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Almost forgot my number.
I haven't found anything like that. I think the weirdest thing that you see regularly is just like lingerie being sold at a Goodwill. I'm like, please, come on. Right? We've talked about that before, but like, don't buy that used.
Don't buy that used. Yeah. Here at number 24, a trio of mariachi band figurines that were made of prunes. Now, I love a good mariachi, but I've never seen them like figurines made of prunes.
This seems like a curious item.
Yeah, it was. Number 23, I was volunteering at a Goodwill once, and while sorting donations, came upon an urn that still contained the ash of human remains. Now,
I don't even know what to say to that.
I mean, one of two things. Either A, you brought mom and dad home from the crematory and set them on the shelf, or put them in the basement and just forgot, and they got put in a box and just got given away. Or B, you really, really didn't like that person. And instead of putting them in the ground or wherever to peacefully rest in peace,
Sent them to Goodwill.
Just sent them to Goodwill.
Or maybe someone bought a storage unit and was like, oh, here's some random pottery.
Right?
And then just donated it.
Now that happens. Like people will rent storage units and then they'll either pass away or become incapacitated or just quit paying the bill. And so what they'll do is these companies like U-Haul or whatever, they'll hire an auctioneer. And they just open up the front door and you can look into it. You can't open it, you just look in. And then they auction off. You might get $10 for it. You might get $100, $200. But then everything in there is yours. And you go through it and you open this up and there's Aunt Sally.
But not your Aunt Sally.
Not your Aunt Sally. Oddest things ever donated to Goodwill, according to crack.com. Says, number 22. I don't work at Goodwill, but my brother once bought a rock he found on the shelf there for $11. There was nothing special about it.
Just a rock.
Number 21. My brother used to work there at Goodwill, and one time someone donated, probably by accident, a pair of fake breast-like ones that people get. Anyway, he got a bit of a kinky idea. He was a skinny dude walking around with some D-cup breasts. Turned out, look great.
All right. Goodbye. All right, then.
But number one, let's quickly do, can we get to number one here in time here? Number one, the guy brought in a metal dance revelation pad that looked like it was harvested off an original arcade machine. There you go.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. 25 craziest things ever donated to Goodwill. Thanks, Mr. Zommers. Also to Luke Mathers. Stay tuned. Our friend Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you. in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Okay. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.